Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. And together, we are off and running on The Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, December 13th, 2022. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. There you will find all of our podcasts. Pretty much our archive goes back to when we launched the show 12 full years. It'll be 12 full years this January, and then we get into lucky 13. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Every other month, we focus on Pima Community College with our interview series presented by Pima, and we introduce our listeners to the dedicated educators and supporters of Pima Community College. Joining us on the live line, Jim Monaco is with us. Jim is the Pima Community College Athletic Director. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Doing real well. You had a very successful tournament that brought together players, coaches, fans from really all over the country for the National Junior College Athletic Association Championships for men's and women's soccer. How did that event go, Jim?
It went incredible. There were a few tweaks we can make because it was a first year thing, but boy, it was pretty amazing, and everybody gave us rave reviews on how it went.
How about your facilities? Where did you spread everybody out over the playing fields?
Well, we had a Keno Sports Complex really came in and did us a great job. We had all their practice fields. Of course, we had the stadium. We had the North Grandstand. We had all the facilities with the locker rooms, and we used areas for hospitality. I mean, it was just everybody was very impressed with what we were able to do, because we had an awful lot of people help us out and give us a really big hand in making everybody comfortable and loving Tucson.
That's a lot of hotel rooms, Jim Monaco. Helps the local economy, doesn't it?
It sure did. They gave us Visit Tucson gave us their first guesstimate of what was going to come in at about $1 million. It went up to about 1.5, and when everything is all said and done, that's about where we're going to be at right now, where $1.4 million was brought into the Tucson community.
How is Aztec Athletics doing? You've got, looks like, 13 sports in your portfolio. How does Aztec Athletics compare to other community colleges around the country of an equal size or like kind of situation?
We have an amazing group of coaches and assistant coaches and athletic trainers. We have a great dedicated group of student athletes. We strive, and I know it might sound a little pompous, but we strive to be better than everybody in the country. When we put together our strategic plan, we wanted our GPA to be at a 2.75, and last year we were able to go with a 3.0 for an entire athletic department. Every team has made the playoffs. We've had a couple of national championships in the last few years. We've been able to do things that we haven't done in quite a long time. When I took over, we had a great base. We really did. The foundation was laid, and it was good. But the coaches and everybody, really, we've taken it to another level, and that's strictly because I have amazing people that work with me.
When the football program was dropped, what kind of impact did that have, Jim Monaco?
Really? You got to bring up the football thing? It hurt my soul because I was the head coach. But
I know that. That's why I was bringing it up.
Well, in all honesty, I mean, do I think we could have done some things to maybe save it? I do in the long run. And now sitting in the chair that would have made those decisions financially, I don't think it would have been feasible in the long run. But however, because of the hires we've made, we lost 116 student athletes when football left. And we have not only made up the 116 athletes, but we've gone past them by 30. And with no more scholarship money, with nothing in the budget added for the last 7 years. So it's just been a great community outreach by our coaches to expand our athletic programs and, you know, making people want to come here and play.
Are your student athletes going on then to play after they graduate from the 2-year school onto a 4-year school?
Absolutely. It's been amazing how we've been able to move student athletes on. You know, at the JC level, when you look to compete at a high level, you're either looking for that athlete that may need some help in the academic areas because they didn't qualify to get into a 4-year school, or you're looking for that athlete that may have some promise that needs a little bit of extra work to gain the ability to move on. And we've been able to do that. Between our basketball programs, we move everybody on. Almost everybody goes somewhere. It's been incredible, about 80%. Baseball is another story. You know, we'll move on 50% of those kids onto 4 years, but another 10, 12, 15% get drafted every year. And that's just as big a success as graduating, because you're moving that person on to something that's going to give them a leg up in life. They're either going to make a great living in playing pro baseball, or they're going to, as part of their contract, get their college paid for when they're done. So we look at a wide array of what we would call success, but we've had a tremendous amount of success moving our players on at every sport. In every sport we have. So we've been really blessed with that.
We're speaking with Jim Monaco. Jim is the athletic director at Pima Community College. Jim, we talked a little bit about scholar athletes. For the student athlete, is there academic support? Because let's face it, when you are out for sports, it's very time consuming. Do they get some additional help if needed for their academics?
Absolutely. And I really do appreciate you bringing that point up like you did. Student athletes have a very, very difficult schedule. For one, we demand that all our student athletes take 15 credits a semester as opposed to the normal student who can take 12. So we make them because we need them to be able to graduate and or move on if they've already qualified to do so. But what we have been able to do with working with our college and working with Chapman Automotive, who is a big sponsor of Pima College Athletics, we've been able to pay for and get more tutoring. Two of our coaches, as part of their coaching duties, run our student learning center, which we have student mentors come in and help. We have teachers come in and help, and we give our student athletes as much possible as we can extra. And the college provides, you know, what they can provide for free. So on top of that, we're getting our people into more academic advising type things where we can help them get the help they need. And let's be honest, in most college students, period, it's that math and English piece that really have a tendency to bring them down, that they need a little bit extra help with. So we've actually worked with our honors program and getting our PTK, which is our honors students, to come in and help, you know, peer mentor our student athletes. And it's been a great relationship. We've actually got classes for incoming freshmen if they want to, and where the college is paying for it out of our fundraised money to get them in honors programs so that they have that credential on their diploma when they graduate, that they started working with honors programs. And we do that over the summer to help them come in, because time commitment wise, they can't do it during the year. But we've worked very hard. And I'll be honest, the student athletes, I'm not a buy-in guy. I'm a jump-in guy. Once you're here, you jump in and immerse yourself in what we're doing, or you shouldn't be here. And our student athletes have just been unbelievable in how hard they've worked to meet the demands that we put on them.
Jim Monaco, before we let you go, got about a minute left. What about opportunities, high school kids that are looking at college? What would you suggest about looking into Aztec sports?
You know, I think that people have to have a real view of what the next level really is. We try to recruit and keep as many of our Southern Arizona players. Our women's soccer team is 95% Southern Arizona. Mm. So we look, there are certain areas in Southern Arizona that are very, very promising for athletics, and there are some that aren't as good as other areas. But my suggestion is that people work very hard and understand that the opportunity is there, but just that, there's opportunity. You know, I couldn't guarantee that if somebody wants to have their child come and be a student athlete at Pima, that it's going to actually happen. But I do know that they'll have the opportunity to try out and compete to make those teams and possibly earn a little bit of money to help along the way.
What should folks who have more interest do? Should they start with the website, pima.edu, or what's your suggestion?
Oh, absolutely. Go on, and if there's an area, our head coach's information is on there. They should throw down some information, who the child is, what school. Of course, the parent's phone number that they can be in touch with, and go ahead and reach out. Start taking a look at the times that our coaches have their camps and clinics, because they'll do what they call a student camp, and they'll have people come in. So it's basically almost like a tryout. They'll get an idea to see what there is out there and what this young person needs to either improve on, or they already have the ability to come onto the team and possibly get a spot.
All right, Jim Monaco, a pleasure speaking with you at Pima Community College, the athletic director. More information at pima.edu. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you so much, and it was a pleasure. Have a great holiday season.
Same to you, Jim Monaco, over at Pima Community College. Mona's Danish Bakery, our place to go for everything holiday-related. They've got some of the most beautiful-looking, and I have to admit, tasting cookies. Had a couple of those gingerbread men over the weekend, and still working on a couple of that we brought home. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now for lunch at the northeast corner. Swan and Sunrise breakfast, 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. It's when they start. Also Sunday, they open at 7, closed on Monday. Put in your order right now for your desserts, for your Christmas table. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Shelly Fishman with me in studio, and we're getting a thumbs up from Shell. We'll find out actually some pretty good news about the economy right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through BuckmasterShow.com or at ShelleyFishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shell, how's your week gone so far?
So far it's going great, Bill. We had a great day in the market yesterday, a pretty good day on Friday, and today we got a report on inflation that was better than the economists expected. They were expecting a good report that inflation would come down to 7.3% annualized, and instead it came down to 7.1% annualized.
And the market reacted in a very favorable way, up at one point 700 points.
Then it went foot.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Well, you know, it's the end of the year.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, the investment community is adjusting their portfolios to make sure that they wind up the year about where they want to from a tax perspective. Mm-hmm. And also they've made decisions about harvesting losses and that kind of thing. So when they see something at the end of the year that looks like it's going way out of range, they start taking profits on it. And so there was a lot of arbitrage going on. The markets are nicely positive today. The Dow is gone from 700 points positive down to less than 100 points positive. But the NASDAQ is doing well, and so is the S&P. So the piece of the market that we generally don't follow because it's boring and nobody understands the bond market, which is gangbusters today. So if you have bonds in your portfolio is doing pretty well today.
And a lot of people do. They may have as much as 30-40% in bonds, depending on your age.
Exactly.
So that's good news
today. Because the anticipated bond yields will come down as the interest rates that are driven by the Fed's overnight policy come down, what we see then is that the general idea of investing in bonds becomes a much more attractive idea.
So where are we now with the market? For tomorrow will be the very big, it'll be a big deal because we're going to find out whether the Fed has decided to damp down a little bit of their enthusiastic rate raising.
So this is an interesting sequence of events because we now have a Fed who will announce what it's doing for the next month and a half, 2 months, the day after the inflation report comes out. And so usually there's not that close a linkage, but the market had priced in that the Fed would reduce their inflation interest increases from 0.75% down to 0.5%. That's likely still to be what happens. However, What we have, again, is this bifurcated economy that is tugging the Fed in two different directions. You know, one is its charge to keep interest, or rather to keep inflation at around 2%. And it's, by the way, that's not the consumer price index. That's the index that the Fed uses, which is about 2% less. So what the Fed uses came in around 5% this morning. So what they're seeing is a less volatile index. But you know, it's still 3 points ahead of what they want it to be. Their other responsibility is to keep employment at a number that is closely related to full employment. Nobody knows exactly what that is because there's a combined effect of the number of people still looking for jobs, the number of people who don't
and
have
we're
jobs.
We're there, aren't it's, we?
Well, we're at full employment right now.
Yeah.
You could kind of carp a little bit and say that the number of people in the job market is down a couple of tenths of a percentage point from where we'd like it. But what the Fed has to balance here is that if the Fed were to cause the economy to go into a recession, as we get there, unemployment will rise. Most economists believe that unemployment, which is down in the mid-threes right now, will in 2023 get up to about 5%. That's too high as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, the Fed doesn't call me. They don't ask my advice, you know, and they don't call. They don't write. What can I do?
Yeah, well, it's too high because look at all the people's the job openings that are
well,
out there.
That's exactly yeah. right. So the balance act that the Fed needs to participate in as part of their charge for being in existence is really a very delicate act. My fear is that the current Fed chair, Jerome Powell, is somehow overly affected by what Paul Volcker did in the 80s. What Volcker did, and inflation in the 80s was not at 7% or 5%. It was at 12, 13, 14%. What he did was he threw the economy into a double-dip recession that lasted, more than 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment went through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
People really suffered.
I hope that doesn't happen again.
We don't want that to happen again. So this is a very unique economy. It's very hard to really extrapolate from the past as to what is likely to happen in the future.
It's a hybrid
because
economy.
We don't really know.
No.
What we think is that as the supply chain problems ease up, as the inventory excesses that were built up by most corporations are spent down, that things will get more normalized into 2023. Some economists are still thinking that Powell will not be able to engineer what's called a soft landing.
Hmm.
That is a good compromise between unemployment and inflation. Some, and I think an increasing number of economists now, are beginning to think that he might actually pull it off.
Mm.
That'd be very good news. So as we always talk when the Fed Open Market Committee gets together and then they issue their Wednesday afternoon statement, what really counts is not what the Fed does, it's what they say they're going to do.
Exactly, and that's what I've always said, please don't say much.
Don't say much, because you don't
keep
know.
Keep it to 5 seconds.
Exactly.
We're doing well.
The Open
Bye.
Market Committee does not meet again until February 1st.
Okay.
So, you know, that gives us, what, 8 weeks, or
yes.
7 or 8 weeks of people speculating about what they're going to do. We don't need that speculation.
No.
So what the Fed needs to do tomorrow is recognize what's happened, recognize, you know, declare not victory, but
mm-hmm.
but declare that their policies have been effective,
mm-hmm.
And then not say much more.
We're moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
Thank you all for coming to hear our remarks.
Right. Have a Merry Christmas
Merry
and a
Christmas.
Happy New Year, and we'll see you in February.
Yeah.
The likelihood that Powell will do that is about zero.
Yeah.
So what's important is what he says tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't alarm the markets too much,
mm-hmm.
I think we'll see a continuation of the improvement in the markets. We're down about 16%, maybe 15% year over for this year. If we take the 2 years, what we have, of course, is an average of 12% mm-hmm. that the markets have increased over the past 70, 80 years. That is the law of physics. Mm-hmm. It's going to be around 12 or 13, you know, 11 or 12% over a longer period of time. Last year, we had a very, very good year. Mm-hmm. It's likelihood, therefore, the likelihood is that we won't have as good a year this year. If we have a flat year this year, then we could look at some increases next year so that we can get back to that 12% average increase. Now, there's no law that says it has to happen in 1 year, 2 years, or three. We just have 70 years or so of history that shows that, you know, 12% is about what we average over time. In any given year, we could be down, we could be up, we could be up a lot last year. I mean, the NASDAQ last year was up over 30%,
if
memory serves.
Yeah.
And the Dow was up about 20%. So if we have a flat Dow this year, we'll have a 10% two-year average, which is very close to norm. That said, I think we'll do better than that.
I say let the Santa Claus rally
there
begin.
There you go.
And it could begin if Mr. Powell keeps quiet.
Wishes us all a happy New Year.
All right. See you next week, Shelley. Have a great rest of this week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
Dine-in or take-out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our Arizona Water Quarterly Report presented by Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us on the live line, Karen Caesar, the Pima County Representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Hey, Karen, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, but I could be better. That's why I'm here at home. Getting well.
Well, we really
be here.
We appreciate you not coming into the studio, and not that I don't want to see you. I really did want to see you, but best to be on the other side of the phone today. Changing the guard, huh? New year, new people.
Yeah. We've got a lot of new things happening at CAWCD. One of the most significant is in November, the board of directors named a new general manager, and her name is Brenda Berman. And Brenda's been with us since the summer of 2021 as an executive strategy advisor, and she's really been super instrumental and helpful in moving, as we move into shortage with her experience. People may remember Brenda was able to she was a commissioner of the Bureau of Reclamation, and that experience has really helped her step into this role, especially when we're dealing with issues such as long-term drought, decreased supplies on the Colorado River, increasing environmental concerns, the whole list of issues that we're facing. Brenda is really uniquely qualified for this position.
So you got your first female general manager, and also the role has been open because the current general manager is retiring. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, Brenda will serve as the first female general manager in the history of CAWCD. So that's a very notable milestone for our organization. And we're very happy, very happy about that. And it was a position opening up because Ted Cook, who has been our general manager for the last 8 years and with CAP for over 25, almost 30 years, will be retiring at the beginning of January. And I got to tell you, Ted's leadership has been instrumental in the past few years, especially as we were working through so many challenges, your listeners will remember, leading up to and including everything around the Colorado River shortage, especially the drought contingency plan implementation that we were in the throes of in 2018 and 2019. He and the Arizona Department of Water Resources Director Tom Bushotsky also launched the Arizona Reconsultation Committee, and that's the committee that's going to establish our Arizona priorities with the other basin states and the federal government as we head into our new guidelines that are be in place in 2026. And Bill, that's just a little over 3 years from now. In the water policy world, that is not a lot of time. But, so she's got big shoes to fill, but I think we really found the right person to fill those shoes.
And you had five open seats on the Maricopa County, five seats that were part of the Maricopa County contingent.
Yes, exactly. We had five of our seats up for election with this, in November, and that's one third of our 15-member board and one half of the Maricopa County representatives. I've talked about our board before. 10 come from Maricopa County, one from Pinal, and four from Pima. So in January, we will be welcoming back two incumbents, Alexander Arboleda and Ben Graff, stood for re-election and were re-elected. And we had three board members retire, so there were three available or open seats, as it were. And so we will be welcoming three new members, and that is Elena Aguilar, Amanda Moniz, and Barbara Ciego. Have not met them, but certainly looking forward to and looking forward to working with them. Your listeners might recall our seats are based on population. That's why we have different amounts for the different counties. We also serve a 6-year staggered term. So every 2 years, 1/3 of the board is up for election. So that really helps a lot with the continuity, because so much of the issues, so many of the issues and matters we deal with are so complex. It would be tough if we had a wholesale turnover of the board in one year. So we get some continuity that way. And of course, you know, we're all volunteers on this board. I always joke. I say we don't do it for the glamour or the money, but everybody who runs and chooses to serve on this board does so out of a love for public service and Arizona and water issues. So we'll have a lot of new faces come January and February.
All right, got a lot of ground to cover here in 5 minutes. The Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District, that you've got a new website there. Briefly, could you give us a couple of the new features?
Yeah, well, there's a lot there to go see, and it's very user-friendly. I think the thing to really pay attention to is the membership locator tool. You may be in a member land or a member service area, and depending on if you are, you might pay for this on your property tax bill or through your local water bill. So people have any questions if they are in the Central Arizona Water Groundwater Replenishment District, they can go there and quickly find out the status of their property. And there's a lot of information there, including a lot of information about water conservation, which is always something we need to pay attention to.
We've talked a few times about the damage to the canal north of Tucson, Karen. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, sure. It's called the Pool 34. Back the summer before last, the summer of 2021, there was an intense storm right around Picacho that led to some inflows into the canal and caused a lot of damage to about a quarter mile of our canal lining. Even though there wasn't any safety issues or water supply issues, we needed to get in there and fix it. And we did that during our regularly scheduled fall outages. And through a mastermind of logistics and timing, our staff was able to mobilize, get in, complete, and get out of there within the confines of the fall outage. And everything is looking good for that stretch of the canal. But never letting a problem go to waste. We want to make sure that we're looking ahead and seeing what we can do to prevent this from happening in other stretches of the canal. So that's one of the things the board has done, is asked staff to take a look at that so we could maybe head off these major damages in the future.
All right. The big elephant in the room, the Colorado River shortage.
Right. We haven't even touched on that. Nope, here we go. Well, as of January 1, Bill, we're going to be in a Tier 2A shortage, and that equates to a reduction of about 30% of our CAP's normal supplies, or overall about 9% of Arizona's total water use. And so that means there's been some cutbacks, no excess water, no agriculture water, and even our high-priority users, municipal industrial, are going to see a 3% reduction. And a 7% reduction in tribal supplies. So, and we're not done. We think there's going to be more reductions coming. So, you know, we're still all hands on deck. It's not great news, but we're prepared and we've got the right team in place. And this transition into new leadership is going to be smooth and help us be prepared for whatever's coming.
Karen, I wanted to ask you, the current modeling, I know that you and the team and up there at CAP look at, will the levels go any deeper into this shortage?
Well, all the modeling, again, you know, it's kind of hope for the best, prepare for the worst. It's still looking dire, and it's still looking like it's a potential of heading into a Tier 3 shortage in the following year or year after. But so far this year, we just got a new snow update. And again, all this information is available on our website. So far, the snowpack is trending above normal. So, you know, it's at least starting off good. So we're going to keep hoping for snow. But again, we are working really hard in Arizona, along with our other basin states, to come up with more solutions to leave more water in Lake Mead to stave off those deeper levels of shortage.
Before we go, Karen Caesar, how about more information for our listeners about your new website?
Yeah, cap-az.com is our CAP website. From there, you can navigate to just about everywhere, including the new CAGRD website. Sign up for Know Your Water News. I can't tell you what a great resource that is. And then you'll get infographics and up-to-date information sent right to your inbox. And as always, you know, we appreciate everybody paying attention and doing their part. And Bill, I want to just say thank you for a great year and all that you've done to help us and get our message out. And hope you and your listeners have a great holiday.
I hope you and yours have a wonderful holiday. And Karen, thank you so much for your quarterly reports with us here on our program. And we'll look forward to our next report in the first quarter of 2023. Have a great holiday. And I hope you feel better, Karen.
Thank you so much. And you too. Take care.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break right here. Certified Public Accountant, CPA Michael C. Flowers is in the house. He's next right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. One of our great sponsors, urging all of our Southern Arizona listeners to take advantage. It's only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City, and if you've got some time off over the holidays, check it out. Good place to start, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you will be very tempted by all these outstanding things to do and great places to stay and eat in historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, very much your poinsettia capital of Arizona. They raised 20,000 poinsettias this year, 3384 East River Road. Michael C. Flowers, our longtime friend and accountant for the Buckmaster Show, joining me in studio. Michael, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great, and it's great to see you, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays. What kind of tax year is this going to be?
I hope it's a relatively normal one, but I don't know if there's such a thing as normal anymore. The biggest changes really affect businesses and has to do with the remnants of second-tier PPP loans and something called the Employee Retention Tax Credit, which most businesses should apply for. And in our office, we're helping clients do that. And many of our businesses are getting $100,000, $200,000 back where the government is subsidizing businesses for staying open during the COVID periods. And it's a complicated process, but more than happy to talk about it. Anybody can call our office, and I'd be happy to talk to them about it.
So there are no major changes this year?
When you say major, I think it's nothing major. It should be relatively the same, and let's hope they don't change anything between now and then.
I hope not. Yeah. Getting your folks should kind of get their stuff together, for want of a better way to put it, shouldn't they, at the end of the year here?
You can't do tax planning in January, so you can't write checks in January. So, yeah, what we're advising clients and what I would advise the public of is take a look at last year's tax return and just go through the major items on there. And if you did have something significant, you sold a house, you sold a rental property, sold a bunch of stock, unfortunately somebody passed away in the family, there's a number of trigger events that say, wait, this is the year I should have somebody help me out. And if it's the same, we always recommend funding your 401k or IRA to the max. You have to make sure you're eligible. You can, in your last couple of paychecks, you can put your entire paycheck towards the 401k if you're so inclined. So let's say you've saved $8,000 and you want to save $10,000 and there's only two pay periods left. As long as you're making more than $1,000 a pay period, you can say, I want all that last two checks, what I would normally get in my net pay, to go to my 401k. If you're in a 30% bracket on $2,000, that's $600 back in your pocket. So we're very strong on advising our clients to fund their retirement plans to the max.
How about taking the distribution, the retirement distribution? That has to be for people over 65, is that correct?
No, it's over 70.
Oh,
it used to be 70 and a half.
Okay.
Now
okay.
It's over 72.
What should people know about that, Michael?
I think the most important thing is the year that you turn 72, there may be an option to take one in that year, or if you wait until the following year, you may have to take two distributions. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. The other thing is it applies to all your retirement accounts. Let's say I have five IRAs, coincidentally, with $100,000 in each one of them. And the required minimum distribution is about 3 or 4%, roughly, depending on your age. So if I had $500,000, five at $100,000, and 3% of that would be $15,000, I can take that out of one IRA account. I don't have to go and take 3% out of every account. So it makes it a little bit easier, because I know the bulk of our clients and the bulk of America, it seems, has multiple IRA, 401k investment accounts. So if you're working with the same broker and you have two or three accounts, they generally will accumulate the amount, tell you how much you have to take. And the one thing you need to be cautious of, if it's towards the end of the year, you may not have sufficient cash in which to take the distribution. Let's say all your assets were invested in IBM, Apple, Microsoft. You may have to sell something to free up the cash so you can do your distribution. So we still got two, three weeks left before the clock ticks its final moments on 22. So I know everybody's worried about holidays and shopping, et cetera, but this is a good time, maybe over the weekend, nighttime, to take a look at last year and see what you can do. Always welcome to give our office a call as a courtesy to you, Bill. You know, we've always offered a free initial consultation for people that have questions on their taxes.
What is your phone number?
It's 520-327-8706. 520-327-8706, or just Google Mike Flowers CPA, and fortunately I've been around long enough that I have a Google presence, which I thought I'd never be saying in my life.
What is this thing with all the IRS agents that are going to be hired, tens of thousands of them? Do you think people should be worried about that?
My biggest concern is they're not going to have any formal training to start with.
Ooh.
When you think, if they hired me today, I mean, I'm a really good CPA,
yeah,
and I really know tax law, but I don't know the mechanics of the IRS internal system, their software, what their targets are, what they're looking at on audits. I know if I was an auditor, I would know what to audit for, but it may not fall within their parameters. So because they hire a number of people, in our mind, they're basically going to be startup. Even if they're CPAs, it's going to take them a ramp-up period before they understand the policies and procedures. So,
you know, you want a CPA that you can trust, right? If you ever get that dreaded letter,
if you have the first thing
IRS,
you do,
right?
The first thing you do,
what do you
when
do?
First thing you do when you get a letter from the IRS. Hopefully you have a CPA preparing your return. If you had if you had one of the national brands, or
yeah, we won't mention any names, but
Statue of Liberty people, those type.
yes.
You may want to then call a CPA, because a CPA is qualified to practice in front of the IRS and would get what's known as a power of attorney, such that the IRS asks the CPA all the questions, doesn't ask you, because you may naively say something that causes them to want to look a little bit deeper, whereas as a CPA, we can always say, oh, yeah, let me get back to Bill on that. I don't know exactly.
So you, in effect, Michael, have a representative, correct?
Right. So we're your representative, and we represent your interest to minimize any potential liability or any additional taxes.
You started the firm in what year then?
I started the firm in 1984,
wow,
almost 40 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unbelievable, Bill. Mm-hmm. I came out to Tucson in 1978, so mm-hmm, I worked with the national firms and a local firm, and then I set up my own firm when I was about 30.
Is it hard to find people now, or
it's hard to find people, but we've been fortunate in our office that we have people that have been with us for a long period of time, working on the same clients every year, and that's a blessing to us and to the firm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Michael, and again, give the particulars. You're very conveniently located. I like to say you're just west of, everybody knows where Costco is over on Grant.
Right.
Your
Grant,
office
Grant
is in that, was it
we're
the
in
old
the Grant,
farm?
The
complex?
Old farm executive park, which mm-hmm is just west of the Costco on Grant and approximately Craycroft and Tankerverde, roughly. The address is 6125 East Grant. I gave the phone number. Be happy mm-hmm to give it again, 520-327-8706. And my email is relatively simple. It's my initials, Michael Charles Flowers, so mcf@theriver.com.
Had a great career, and we want to wish you all the best, Michael.
Bill, I really appreciate it. It's been great knowing you for so long, not only as a business associate, but more importantly as a friend.
And all right, Michael.
I value that.
I value it as well. Michael C. Flowers, thank you very much. Hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season.
Same to you and Ann and the rest of your family too, Bill.
Thank you very much. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show today. On behalf of Mr. Michael C. Flowers, John engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope everybody has a great afternoon.